You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
This is a True Crime in Real Time update from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
I'm Tony Bruschi. Today, we dive into the latest explosive developments in the trial of Richard Allen, Day 5, the man accused of murdering Abby Williams and Libby German on that tragic day in Delphi. The courtroom was rocked with new revelations, including the full uncut Bridge Guy video, showing the suspect's chilling movements as he followed the girls across the Monon High Bridge. A forensic bombshell emerged today, with testimony suggesting that wounds on the victims may have been caused by a single instrument, possibly a box cutter, replacing earlier assumptions of multiple blades. And just as startling, new phone data revealed that Libby's phone pinged unexpectedly at 4:33 a.m. on the morning after the murders, casting fresh doubt on theories about how the crime unfolded. Eyewitness Sarah Carbaugh delivered gripping testimony about seeing a man covered in mud and blood that day, though her shifting recollections faced tough scrutiny from the defense. The defense also pushed their controversial Odinism theory once more, trying to inject doubt into the prosecution's case. With every new detail, this trial only raises more unsettling questions. What really happened that day on the trail? And is Richard Allen truly the bridge guy? Let's unravel what we know so far. On February 13, 2017, Abby Williams and Libby German set out for a walk on the Monon High Bridge Trail in Delphi, Indiana. It was a sunny afternoon, and the girls, like many others, enjoyed spending time outdoors. What was supposed to be an ordinary day turned into a nightmare. The following day, their bodies were discovered near the creek, and what began as a local tragedy quickly escalated into a national mystery. Today, new revelations in the trial of Richard Allen, the man accused of the murders, have added yet another layer of intrigue to this unfolding case. One of the most significant pieces of evidence in this case has always been the grainy video recorded by Libby German on her phone just minutes before her death. Jurors watched an expanded version of this footage in court today, marking the first time the public has seen the full uncut version. The video shows a man, now referred to as the bridge guy, following the girls across the bridge. Dressed in layers with his hands tucked into his pockets, the man's posture appears tense, giving off an ominous vibe. His command to the girls, "Guys, down the hill," has haunted investigators and the public alike. Prosecutors argued that the man in the video is Richard Allen, whose home is only a few minutes away from the crime scene. Allen has admitted to being on the trail that day, but denies involvement in the murders. The expanded footage, prosecutors claim, provides a clearer timeline and reinforces Allen's presence at the scene. Adding to the weight of the evidence, eyewitness Sarah Carbaugh took the stand. Carbaugh described seeing a man walking along County Road 300 North that afternoon, just hours after the girls went missing. What stood out to her was the man's appearance. He was covered in mud and blood. His clothes were dirty, like he had fallen down a hill, she testified, noting that he didn't make eye contact with her when she passed by. But Carbaugh's testimony wasn't without controversy. Defense attorneys questioned inconsistencies in her account, pointing out that she initially described the man's coat as tan, only to later align it with the dark blue jacket seen in the video. The defense also highlighted that in her early interviews with police, she mentioned mud several times but made no reference to blood until years later. Carbaugh insisted that she had mentioned blood to investigators, suggesting that portions of her interview may have been lost. "Whether it's mud or blood, I know what I saw," she said defiantly, though the defense left room for doubt about the reliability of her memory. The autopsy findings presented in court were graphic, revealing the brutal nature of the attack. Dr. Roland Kaur, The forensic pathologist who conducted the autopsies testified that Abby suffered a single fatal cut to her neck, while Libby sustained multiple deep wounds, some inflicted in repeated passes. Dr. Kaur surprised both the prosecution and defense with a new theory regarding the murder weapon. Initially, investigators believed that two different blades, a serrated and a non-serrated one, had been used. However, Kaur now speculates that the wounds may have been caused by a single instrument, possibly a box cutter. He explained that the unique patterns on Libby's neck wounds resembled the thumb grip on certain box cutters. Defense attorneys were quick to challenge this shift, pointing out that Kaur had never mentioned a box cutter in his earlier reports or depositions. The pathologist admitted that his revised theory developed after further reflection, raising questions about whether the new analysis could undermine the state's case. The trial also delved into the digital evidence extracted from Libby German's phone. The phone was found beneath Abby's body, and it recorded the infamous video that captured the bridge guy. But new forensic analysis has revealed startling information about the phone's activity. Police initially believed the phone powered down around 10:30 p.m. on the night of the murders. However, Sergeant Chris Cecil, a digital forensics expert, testified that the phone briefly came back online at 4:33 a.m. the next morning, receiving multiple text messages at once, including one from Libby's grandmother that read, "You need to call me now." This new information casts doubt on the defense's earlier theory that the girls were abducted and killed elsewhere before their bodies were dumped back near the creek. If the phone never left the area, it raises serious questions about whether Allen or someone else could have staged the crime scene to mislead investigators. In another twist, Allen's defense team once again attempted to introduce their controversial Odinism theory, suggesting that the murders were part of a ritualistic killing by followers of a white nationalist pagan cult. The defense argued that evidence of this theory had been suppressed by investigators who were too focused on Allen as their primary suspect. While the judge had previously denied the admission of Odinism-related evidence, the defense pushed to revisit the issue in light of new testimony heard earlier in the trial. Prosecutors dismissed the theory as a baseless distraction, but the defense's insistence kept the courtroom on edge, adding another layer of complexity to an already convoluted case. The emotional weight of the trial was palpable, particularly during the presentation of autopsy photos. Libby and Abby's families sat quietly as graphic images of the girls' injuries were displayed on a large screen. At times, family members wiped away tears, their faces reflecting both sorrow and resolve. Meanwhile, Richard Allen sat at the defense table, taking notes and occasionally glancing at the images. His wife and family members who attended the trial appeared visibly shaken, offering each other comfort throughout the proceedings. The trial has taken a heavy toll not only on the families, but on the entire community of Delphi, as residents struggle to come to terms with the loss of two young girls whose lives were tragically cut short. As the trial progresses, the evidence against Richard Allen continues to build, but not without raising new doubts and questions. The expanded video, eyewitness testimony, and evolving forensic theories paint a complex picture. Is Allen truly the bridge guy, or are there still pieces of the puzzle waiting to be uncovered? To me, it feels like what we're seeing unfold in the courtroom right now is nothing short of a legal chess match, with both sides maneuvering through conflicting testimony, shifting theories, and unsettling evidence. As jurors process the expanded bridge guy video, they must now grapple with new complexities. Could Richard Allen, by his own admission, have been on the bridge at just the wrong time? Or is there a deeper connection between him and the girls that hasn't yet come to light? The forensic testimony from Dr. Roland Kaur threw a wrench into both the prosecution and defense strategies. With his late-breaking theory about a box cutter potentially being the weapon used, Kaur added a new layer of uncertainty. His shift in opinion from multiple blades to possibly just one highlights the difficulties in piecing together a clear narrative from fragmented forensic evidence. And that's where doubt seeps in, just enough for the defense to exploit. The defense, in turn, seems determined to create as much doubt as possible, whether through witness inconsistencies or the introduction of their Odinism theory. This argument suggesting the murders were part of a ritualistic sacrifice may feel like a desperate attempt to redirect attention. But in a case as emotionally charged as this, all it takes is one juror to latch onto that sliver of doubt. For it to matter, the stakes are high, and the defense knows it. On the other side, prosecutors are leaning heavily on the digital breadcrumbs left behind by Libby's phone. That 4:33 a.m. phone ping is a crucial piece of the puzzle, undermining the theory that the girls were killed elsewhere and their bodies later moved. Yet, the presence of such uncertainty, why did those messages come through all at once? Why did the phone briefly power back on hours later? Only adds to the trial's emotional complexity. But what does justice even look like in a case like this? Is it Richard Allen behind bars? Is it the truth, however painful or complicated it may be, coming to light? The answer isn't clear, and perhaps it never will be. What's undeniable is that Abby Williams and Libby German deserved better. Better from the world. And better from the justice system tasked with bringing answers to their families. So, as we inch closer to a verdict, we're left with unsettling questions. Will the evidence be enough to convict? Will the defense's strategy plant enough doubt in the minds of the jurors? And if justice is served, will it ever truly bring peace to the families who lost so much on that fateful day in 2017? I'm Tony Bruschi. If you want to stay up to date on this case and others we cover, be sure to subscribe.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from Finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.